Hi, everyone, and welcome to the sixth episode of the Professional Book Nerds podcast presented by Overdrive. I'm your host, Jill. Today is a very special Harry Potter-specific episode. Next Thursday, February 4th, is the second annual Harry Potter Book Night, and we here at Overdrive will be celebrating because we have millions of Harry Potter fans here in the office. And so, of course, we have to take advantage and celebrate Harry Potter when we can. So those of us who are Harry Potter fans decided to record an episode that is all about our love for Harry Potter, including how we got into the books, our favorite books, differences between the books and the movies, and all the fun stuff that comes with being a Harry Potter fan. So I hope you enjoy listening to our Harry Potter discussion. If you would like to join in on the discussion and share your own memories about Harry Potter and how you got into the book and all that fun stuff, you can find us on Twitter at Overdrive Libs and also on Facebook at Overdrive for Libraries. You can also email us at feedback@overdrive.com. So feel free to reach out, talk to us about Harry Potter. We will talk about Harry Potter for hours with you if you would like. And otherwise, enjoy the episode. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the sixth episode of the Professional Book Nerds podcast presented by Overdrive. I'm your host, Jill, and today we have a very special edition episode that is all Harry Potter.
Woo! Yay.
No woo.
Sorry, guys, I'm a little under the weather, so my wooing will be a little subdued today. But I love Harry Potter, so I'm here.
Fighting through it. So there's a bunch of us in the room today, so I think what we should start with, especially since we have multiple female voices, is to go around, introduce ourselves, and what Harry Potter house you belong to. I'm Jill, and I am Slytherin, hashtag sorry not sorry.
I'm Rachel, and I'm a Ravenclaw.
I am Emma, and I am also a Ravenclaw.
I'm Adam, and I've been told I'm a Gryffindor, but I was going to lean Ravenclaw as well. But I'll just be different, and I'll say yes. Gryffindor, so we can have more of the houses
represented.
Poor Hufflepuff.
So I'll say no Hufflepuff.
No, I'm like, no
Hufflepuff. Sorry.
That's okay.
I am married to a Slytherin.
See?
I don't say that much.
Slytherins are awesome. I might be biased.
Just maybe. Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. So it's a Harry Potter episode.
Yes. Yes, it is.
So excited.
I know.
Can't get enough.
We have a lot of Harry Potter fans here at Overdrive.
We have so many Harry Potter fans at Overdrive. So you walk around the office. It doesn't have to be a special event. Just any given day, there's wearing the t-shirts, and we have a wand literally in our room right now.
We do. It's Snape's, by the way.
Is, of course it's Snape's, because it's yours. We have scarves, and my desk has Harry Potter's glasses on it at all times. So, yeah, we feel like we are the proper people to
yes.
talk about Harry Potter.
All right, and we have the Harry Potter book night next week.
Yes.
We do.
All staff.
All staff.
An option to come celebrate Harry Potter, eat some food, watch some films.
It's going
to
be awesome.
Oh, and it's not just food.
Read the book aloud.
We should have a readout.
A read along.
Well, we're definitely going to have the soundtrack playing, and we'll have the first movie going, and all of the food is Harry Potter themed.
Yes.
So we're buying all the candy and everything. And yeah, our HR doesn't really know how much we're going to spend. We were given the go-ahead to do that. So.
Yes,
that's okay.
That's exciting.
Yeah,
at the last place I worked, we had a Harry Potter party, and I made a treacle tart for the party.
Ooh.
It was difficult to make,
yeah.
but it's well worth it. And I think my teeth still hurt because it was very sweet.
Yeah, I imagine.
Very sweet.
But
delicious.
I will say we're going lazy. We're literally just buying everything
that's
online.
Cool.
Like, every flavored beans and the chocolate frogs and all that good stuff. So you're welcome to make something if you want. We're
nice.
All set.
Nice.
You have to dress up.
Ooh,
I'm
yes.
hoping that people will dress up. And like I said, the amount of Harry Potter apparel we have in this office.
We should plan to wear our dresses.
I'm going to wear my dress and I'll probably wear my house robes. Probably I have a scarf too,
yeah.
And then I mean I have a tattoo, so that's
well. There,
always,
that's always there.
Always there.
And it's always a Harry Potter accessory.
Rachel, you're one of like at least three Harry Potter tattoos
yeah.
I know of in the office.
Yeah. And yeah, I know of one other one, but I know there's got to be more.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Sure.
I'm sure.
Jinx. Just kidding.
Okay, so anyway, where do you want to start talking about Harry Potter?
Yes.
Well, how did everybody get into Harry Potter, I guess?
Okay, I'm going to start. I got the first three books for Christmas from my grandmother in 1999 and pretty much never looked back. Bought them as they came out every year. Have several different versions and editions. I want more versions and editions.
Yeah, I know.
I just said over the weekend that I want to buy a set of the nice paperbacks because I feel like my much-loved hardbacks cannot handle my constant once-a-year reading. I feel like they're going to fall apart. So to keep them in semi-decent condition, I want to get an additional copies.
That's a bad idea.
Ebook copies, something copies, so I can have access to it at all times.
Actually, ebook copies is a good idea.
Yes, because then you will not damage them.
And it takes up less space.
Yes, that is true, since I do already have two sets of the books. I have the British version and the American version. I have a couple of them in French from when I studied abroad there. And then I did just buy the illustrated Harry Potter and Sorcerer's Stone. Mm-hmm. So I have a problem.
They have like those fancy ones that are like house edition.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
With the fun covers for like each house.
Yes. Those ones are super expensive.
Oh, I'm well aware.
Those are the ones that my wife and I want to get. So for mine, my mom taught third and fourth grade for 39 years. And every year she would read her students the first book. And so as I was growing up at around the same age, she kind of was like, you need to read this as well. And so that was, you know, same kind of around the same time, like in the late 90s. And I will say after she retired, one of the gifts that us siblings got her was we got her the really nice leather bound. It kept the whole set and it comes in like a treasure chest. It was the most difficult thing I've ever had to actually give someone else. Like, we bought it, and we're looking at it before we wrapped it, and we're like, what if we just kept this for ourselves? So my mom has a beautiful version of the entire set, and we keep waiting to pull the trigger on one of those as well.
Yeah.
We also said, I am kind of Ravenclaw-ish, and my wife is Gryffindor, so what color books do we buy?
It's a tough one.
That's the problem.
Set of each.
Out of age.
That's
not
a bad idea.
I was very resistant to reading them at first because I was like in high school, I think, when they came out, and I was just like, oh, these are kids' books. And then I was home from college after freshman year. So this is like summer of 2001, I think. I was babysitting my cousin's kids, and my cousin was a first grade teacher, and she had the books. And the way their house was set up is that the kids were upstairs sleeping, and like the TV and everything was like down in the basement. I was like, so there'd be like a floor between us. I'm like, I can't do that. Like, I have to keep myself entertained somehow. I'm like, I'll read this Harry Potter book. And when they came home like 3 hours later, I was like, can I take this with me? I have to finish it right now. And the next day I like went to the library and got like all the rest of the books that they had. I think they were up to four at that point, maybe.
Yeah, my mom had a part-time job at a bookstore when I was growing up, so she bought me one of the books for Christmas just because she was, you know, selling it, and it was really popular. And this was probably in, I don't know, 98 or 99 that I read it, the first one, and I've been hooked ever since.
I know. They're so addicting once you get started.
So did anyone ever go, like, to the actual Harry Potter book nights and like get your copy at midnight or anything like that?
Multiple times.
Okay.
Yeah, I grew up in Hudson, and so we go to the Learned Owl, which always had like the big party. And for the 5th, 6th books, we went there, and I was working at a bookstore for when the 7th one came out. But when the 5th one came out, we like were home. They were very well organized, and we were home by like 12:15, 12:20, and I immediately started reading it, and fell asleep about 4 o'clock, woke up about 7, kept reading, and my mom comes in about noon, and she's like, you need to eat something. So I go out to the kitchen, I make a sandwich, and then I come back, and like, I'm eating the sandwich in my room, reading the book, and my mom's like, no, actually, I meant you needed to eat something out with the rest of the family. I'm like, too bad, mom, I gotta finish this book. And I was done that afternoon.
I did the same thing, especially with the fifth book, because remember, that was the one that was like, there was a 3.5 wait between the fourth one and the fifth one. Right. So I didn't think it was ever going to come out. But yeah, I went and got it at a Barnes & Noble at midnight, and I purposely, like, napped a lot that day. Like, I'd been planning it out. Like, I napped all day. So I think I almost read it all in one sitting, and I think around 6 in the morning, I was like, I gotta sleep for a little bit. But I was in college at the time, so I was kind of used to, you know, being up late pulling all-nighters, but that one, I think the 6th and the 7th one I read in one sitting after getting it, but the 5th one, I was just... a little too hefty for one sitting.
It was. That's a big...
that's the biggest one. That's the biggest one. Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed.
I remember I bought... well, for the 6th and the 7th book, my mom had started reading the Harry Potter books as well, and so we both didn't want to wait for the other to finish the book the minute it came out, so we had to start buying multiple copies. And I remember for the 7th book, we ended up going out at midnight. We kind of, like, let it wait till the last minute. Oh, we need to get this book immediately. And we ended up at a grocery store that had a huge display of them because that's awesome. They wanted in on, I mean, sure, in on selling that book. And so it was the closest place that we sort of found in the vicinity. And we ended up getting multiple copies of the 7th book at a grocery store at midnight, immediately went home and read them.
Yeah.
So that's fun memories of that.
I know.
They put it, like, on the conveyor belt. I'm like, my two books, you don't, I'll just take them.
That's
right,
awesome.
Now. So, unique, I guess.
Indeed. Indeed.
And so what about the movies? Because I feel like it's two separate experiences.
Oh, they're very different experiences. Yeah.
So, like, I will never forget, like, obviously, I always remember reading all the books, but the first movie... obviously, we went and saw it in the theaters as soon as we could, but I will never forget that I was in my freshman year of high school, and we had a musical that we had performed that night, because if you're a Harry Potter nerd, you're also probably a theater nerd. It's
that's
like,
fair.
There's, like, a perfect,
there's some good overlap.
Yeah, exactly. So I never will forget, we had, like, our cast party after the show, and instead of, like, oh, high school kids who are gonna, like, drink and stay out all night and be, like, you know, very, you know, doing things that shouldn't be at their age.
Right.
Nope, we had a big giant viewing of the first Harry Potter movie, and whatever house we were at, the parents were just like, yeah, I was really nervous that everyone was going to be, like, rowdy, and instead they all just sat around the TV and watched the first Harry Potter movie together, and then we all went our separate ways. Like, it was just hilarious to have, like, 45 people crammed into one little tiny space to watch the movie.
Sure, yeah. No, I remember, I think almost all of them I went opening night or opening day. Like, the first one, I was in college and we went to matinee, and really, it was all kids. It didn't even occur to me that it would be, like, 10-year-olds. Yeah. Oh, of course, Sarah, we're, like, the oldest ones there.
Yeah.
Aside from the parents. I would, like, dress up for them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you have to.
Right?
Absolutely. So what about you guys, Rachel, Emma?
I would always go to see the movies, but I wasn't as into those as I was as when the books came out, I think. Like, I would always see them, you know, within the first week or so, but I remember with the, when the last movie came out, like, the 7 part 2,
right.
I, like, kind of refused to see it because I didn't want it to be over.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I waited, I think, until, like, the last possible week I thought it would be in theaters, and I was like, I'll go see it.
I love that you went through the stages of grief.
Yeah.
Or the movie.
I did, yeah, because, I mean, it was all over with the last movie. There was nothing else to look for.
Well, now there is.
Well, now there is.
There's,
Fantastic Beasts coming out.
In 3 parts.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I don't think I knew that
part.
Well,
I don't know if it's a trilogy or whatever, but there will be more movies. I don't know what the titles will be.
All right.
But
that makes me excited. My wife and I, 2 years ago now, went to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter.
Yes.
I literally have a video on my phone, and she hates that I won't delete it, of her walking into Diagon Alley and just crying her eyes out, like, just being so happy. And because that was, like, the same thing for us. It was like, we were so sad that everything was over.
Mm-hmm.
But then you go to those theme parks, and I'm not trying to tell anyone just how to spend their money, but if you want to go and experience... it's like reading the books for the first time again.
Yes.
Like, you walk into those parks. It's like being in the world. And Because I feel like every one of us who takes Harry Potter as seriously as most of our office does, it's like you genuinely get sad that it's not a real part of your life. Like it doesn't, you know, it actually exists. And you walk into those parks and you're just like, oh, this is what, I could actually be a wizard here. And like you're trying to, you know, do spells.
Yeah.
And it's just,
yep.
I guess that she, my wife gets very angry at me because, you know, usually after a drink or two, I'll be like, hey guys, you want to see something funny? And I'll pull out my phone and show her crying hysterically as we walk through Diagon Alley. It's, yeah.
That's
terrible. I want to go. I haven't been yet, but I want to go really bad. But it's funny, my husband and I, we have a son, and he's still a little too young to really like appreciate it, so we have to wait a little bit. And we're like, we can't go there without him. Like, we'd be the worst parents in the world though if we went to Universal Studios and left our kids at home. So we're gonna wait, I think, until he's a little older.
I don't know.
To take him. I mean, we've gone back and forth, like, oh, we could do it, but then we're just like, I don't know.
Well, it's one of those, you're gonna wanna make multiple trips. I mean, we literally got to the park at 8 a.m. and left after midnight.
Oh, yeah.
And we were still like, whoa, there's more things we need to see.
Yeah. Like, you can spend the entire day just at the Harry Potter park. And it's funny because, like, the Hogsmeade was the first section that they built, and I think they underestimated the popularity. Because the rides at Hogwarts is fun, but there's not really a lot you can do. Mm-hmm. And then I think they're like, oh wait, we need a much bigger park.
Yeah. Well, that's so when you walk into Diagon Alley, it's literally like everything is interactive.
Yes.
You can walk into every storefront and you can buy things. That's the smartest
Which is part. Where all
you,
my money went.
Oh man, we spent so much money when we bought Ravenclaw socks for my sister, and my wife has a sweatshirt, and we got a Harry Gryffindor scarf. We of course had a giant turkey leg, broomsticks, and all the, you know, butterbeer, and yeah, it's the amount of money you can spend is
a little ridiculous. Yeah,
I'm going to express an unpopular opinion. When I went to Harry Potter Wizarding World, I did not like butterbeer. I did not.
Which
like
one
it.
Did you try?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
We went.
Because it comes there's like hot,
there's a,
cold.
We did like try a cold ice. One.
Okay. Yeah,
it was maybe like
one.
The slushy
kind. It was like a frappuccino,
kind.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like
we went in June, I believe, of that year. So it was very humid, very warm and delightful outside in Florida. And we actually went before they added a lot of the interactive stuff. So I definitely think I need a return visit. And I'm also very excited for the Hollywood counterpart that opens in April. I definitely want to check that out as soon as it's up and running, given I can get out there.
I was
going
to
say,
that's also a little closer to home for you.
Yes, it is a lot easier for me to have an excuse to go out to Hollywood than to Florida, since I have family and friends that live in the Los Angeles area.
I wonder, like, ALA is the annuals in Orlando this year.
Yes.
I wonder
how
many
it's
people...
It's going to be a huge influx of librarians.
One of us in the room gets to go to ALA is me. And so I will tell you that my wife has already told me she's coming, and we have already planned out extra days specifically
to go.
See, I'm going to Orlando next month to visit some libraries, but we will not be there for more than a few hours. So if I could have worked it in, I would definitely have worked in a stop at Harry Potter. I should put that on the list for next time.
At the beginning of every year, my wife always asks me, like, oh, what conferences are you going to this year? And so I told her, I was like, well, there's ALA in Boston in midwinter, and there's PLA.
She was like, not going to that.
Yeah, exactly. She's like, I'm not, no interest in that. I was like, well, and then there's PLA in Denver in the spring. And she's like, okay, well, that sounds interesting. I was like, and then there's ALA annual in Orlando. And she didn't even say, oh, Florida, sun, that sounds like a great time. She said, oh, we can go back to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. So I said, absolutely. So my brother also works here. He's going down. I think our parents are coming and like bringing my niece.
Why not?
We're making a legitimate family vacation out of ALA entirely because
I imagine you will not be the only ones.
Nope.
Out of everybody in the land.
I'll be honest. As the person who does all of our social media here at Overdrive, I'm excited to find all the librarians at Harry Potter World and be like, hey guys, I work for Overdrive.
Yeah.
Let's all take some massive group pictures of this entire situation, because
agreed.
I think they'll be all on board.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually curious to see at AOA how many people just flat out dress up as Harry Potter's. Like, and they'll just kind of say, like, oh, well, we're going later, so we figured we'd just wear all this.
Not a bad idea. Yeah. I mean,
you don't want to, you know, go back and change. You don't want to waste
of that time. Of course not. Yeah. Kind of hop in the car, jumping out. Yeah. Good stuff.
I'm so excited. Sorry for everyone who's not coming to AOA.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, let's like floating
in
the room.
Right in your faces right now. I know, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Send us
pictures. I don't know. They might try to go. Shouldn't I work my magic?
That would be amazing.
If you can swing it, it's, yeah. I'm actually just kind of sad that I'm not there right now. Oh, I will buy a lot more, because last time we were there, we were trying to make the difficult decision of, like, well, do you want to carry around all this stuff? So we decided, like, clothes, because even though we were there in the summer, I was like, I can wear this scarf around, it'll be fine, it was 100 degrees. So we didn't get any wands last time, so rest assured, this time around, we're bringing back a series of wands.
Yes, for sure. And you can have your own on display.
I was going to say, I don't know what, whose wand we'll get.
There's a lot to choose from. There's, like, specific wizard ones, but then there's ones that are more original if you want, like, one that's...
Well, I mean, it's not like you can choose the wand.
Well,
of course, sure. There. I just magically, the wand, Snape's wand chose me.
Yeah, to the surprise of no one in the room.
I wasn't at the Jeepalooza this year because that's where I was. Like, I was in Orlando at the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, and...
Only acceptable reason to miss the Jeepalooza.
Well, I've been booked before I started here. but, it, like, in when you're in Diagon Alley, there is, like, a Nocturne Alley section where they have a Borgin and Burkes store. Yeah. And I, like, walked in, and I, like, that was my crying moment. I'm, like, wearing Dark Mark earrings, and they... But it's one of those things where, like, the employees, like, are like, oh, hello, hello. And then they, like, see me with my earrings. They're like, hello. Please come in. Buy everything.
Oh, man. Well, what's so cool about Nocturne Alley when you're there is it's exactly how it is in the book. It's so nondescript.
It is so.
I legitimately asked someone there who works there. I was like, can I walk down this alley? And like, yeah, that's the point of it.
No, but it's just like this little like dark corridor. Yeah. It's Nocturne Alley. There, I mean, Borgin and Burkes is the only thing back there that you can like shop in, but it doesn't feel like it's part of the park. Yeah.
You feel like you're going into the whole like employees only.
Yes, it's exactly like that.
It felt wrong the whole time. I was like, someone's gonna yell at me. And but yeah. It's just so smart though that they set all that up.
Yeah. It does. It feels like you're in the books.
Mm-hmm. And
it's magical.
I love it.
So which book is your favorite?
Oh, man.
To the surprise of nobody, I think I have to say The Half-Blood Prince. Like, I go back and forth, but I love that book. Like, the story, I love... Like, I don't know. I love that book. And it's a good... lead to the Deathly Hallows, I think, is why I like it.
So what about you guys?
Obviously, it's tough, but I always say Goblet of Fire is probably my favorite, because I just love the whole Triwizard Tournament and all the aspects of that, and I think that's, I don't know, I think she really upped the ante in that book big time. She like, did. It kind of moved from, to me, that was when it kind of moved from being, like, kids' books to being, you know, more of, like, a full on, you know, adventure story with so many details and so many more characters were introduced.
That's usually what I go with too, and I think it's at the beginning. You still have kind of the, you know, the first couple books. It's like not like happy go lucky, but there's a lot of like. It's just those first few books is how we all fell in love with the whole world, and you know, waiting for our letter and all, like kind of the idea of this world that she built, and then like you said, that by the end of it, it's. It gets very, very serious, and so I agree. I think it has like kind of that perfect combination of like obviously the last few books are darker, much more serious tone. So I think you kind of get the best of both worlds. So I would agree with you.
Yeah. Anytime I'm promoting Harry Potter to my now adult friends that didn't read it growing up, sometimes they'll read the first two books and be like, oh, this is good, but like, they're kids' books, and I'm like, how you need to read past the second one, like, so much more than that once you get past the third and the fourth book. Yes. Like, it's a whole different story.
Indeed. Emma?
I'm gonna go with The Prisoner of Azkaban as my favorite. I think solely because of the introduction of Sirius.
Yes.
And I loved that at the end he sort of had that hope of a real sort of family and a father figure. And that, I think, was one of my favorite things, because it is, I don't want to say light, because it's not a light story, but I do agree that it does definitely get more dark and angsty and crazy in tone as you get further along. But I think I just love the way that they introduced that character and sort of gave him hope, even if it was a little bit short-lived. And I love that relationship.
Agreed.
Especially sort of that turn at the end, because the whole entire book, you're kind of viewing him in a completely different way, and then at the end all is sort of revealed.
Yes.
Where he did not do what they think he did, and I just love that.
Yes.
Something that I think we should address, speaking of all the different ways that you can kind of take in this awesome story, is how good are the audiobooks?
Oh, oh my gosh.
Jim Dale was the one I was going to go with. I feel like at any given time, there's multiple people in our office just listening to that as background noise for their work. And I think it's amazing that despite these titles being as old as they are at this point, I think the Sorcerer's Stone was still our most downloaded and checked out audiobook last year.
That would not surprise me.
Yeah, and he's just, he's so
wonderful.
So good.
Wonderful. Yeah. And so I just, that's another thing. It's like, you can read the books and it's an amazing experience, and you can watch the movies and it's a great experience, and you can go to the parks and it's a great experience, and you can also listen to the audiobooks. And I feel like there's all these different ways to take in the content, and each of them are special in their own in their own ways.
Yeah, for sure.
And I support everyone doing all of them.
Yes.
At any time.
Yes.
Listen to it, read it, watch the movies.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm guilty of being, I feel like Cuyahoga County Public Library, who's my public library, I feel like I am one of their audiobook and ebook checkouts of their of the Harry Potter stuff. Like, at any given time, I have one of them always on my bookshelf.
Yeah.
Because I'm generally not a big rereader of books, but this is the one that I feel like I'm constantly either reading one or listening to one at all times.
Yeah.
And I find myself being really jealous of the people who said they haven't read it yet. You know, on one hand, I'm angry. It's like, what? How do you not? You really? But then I'm like, well, they also get to discover it for the first time.
Yeah, but there are sometimes I think it's a little, I get a little salty because I'm like, you guys don't have to wait 3.5 years between books.
That's true.
That's a good point. But and it was like for all of us, we're like the perfect age where we literally grew up with it.
Yeah.
And like, it's, I don't know, it's something where it's kind of both like happy and sad to know that this is going to be probably the greatest thing in our lifetimes from like a literary standpoint. Like the whole, just the idea of it, like this is our Star Wars, if you want to say. This is our generation Star Wars. And even though Star Wars is also our
back.
Star Wars.
We had a different thing.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I think it's like that sense of community you get with it. Like, you meet another Harry Potter fan and you have this like instant connection you don't always get with other books.
Well, then there's the conversation like, well, like how we started, like, what house are you in? And what was your favorite book? Like, there's always a way to bond with someone who also read the books, which thankfully is a lot of people.
Yeah, especially in our profession.
Yeah. Yes.
I feel like that should be one of the questions, like, you get in your interview.
Have you read Harry Potter?
Yeah, exactly.
How many times? What house are you in?
Welcome to Overdrive. What house are you in?
That's actually not a suggested idea. To HR. Yeah.
Jill, I think I asked you that in your interview.
You might have. Because I think I mentioned Well, I remember, like, I mentioned Harry Potter because you probably were asking, like, about books. And it seems like I said, you, like, start taking your jacket off to show me your tattoo. Like, I knew what you were doing.
Yeah.
And she just like started picking her, and then she's like, no, I'm just showing you. I'm like, I got it. It's okay. You don't have to explain.
I'm a fun eater. But yeah, that's the thing. You know, you can instantly bond with somebody and have an instant connection just over Harry Potter, which...
I know.
I don't know many people that haven't read it. Although I will say my fiancé has never read any of the books. And it's sort of a...
you should buy him a set
in our relationship. I have so many copies and sets right in our living room. So I think I might try to get him into the audiobooks, maybe.
Yeah.
I'll just start reading it aloud at any time while he's at home.
That's not a bad idea either.
He will have no choice. He has seen the movies, so he is familiar, but it's obviously just such a different experience. I'm trying to figure out a stealthy way to get those in.
I was picturing him like on a Saturday morning sitting on top of like a cup of tea, reading aloud to no one, waiting for him to come
to enter the room.
Just waiting for him to enter the room.
Yeah. To try to sneak that in there. Yeah. Include a quote at our wedding.
You should.
I very well might do that. There needs to be a literary something.
Sure.
Oh yeah, before we started recording, I told you we now have 4 different Harry Potter quote like pieces of art in our house.
Yeah, we've got
different
number two.
We're running out of rooms as opposed to
those two. We have a lot of decorations are kind of taking over, and then you know my husband and I have matching Harry Potter tattoos, and we got our wedding anniversary because when we got married, we didn't say I do, we said always.
Oh my god, that is the best ever.
And I always kind of joke around, you guys will appreciate this story with my husband. I always think the moment that I knew I was going to marry him, we were talking about Harry Potter, obviously, kind of like getting to know each other. And, you know, we kind of did the whole, what house are you in? What's your favorite book? And then he asked me what my Patronus was. I said, well, a cat, because that's my Patronus is cat, obviously. And then I asked him what his was, and he said, well, mine's a cat because yours is a cat. And I was like, oh, God. I'm going to marry this man. And I did.
Oh, my gosh. That is so sweet.
That is wonderful.
Mm-hmm. It's like, that's a pickup line, man.
That's really...
It's good.
That's good. Jeez.
Drop the mic.
I know. Right?
Good job. Oh, I don't think we can top that.
No,
I don't think so. I think we're good. That's a good way to go out.
So, I would say our book recommendations for this podcast.
All the Harry Potters.
Harry Potters, whether it's an ebook or the audiobook, just dive back into that world.
Agreed.
Something tells me if you're listening to this podcast, you're also a Harry Potter fan.
And maybe, if not, now you will be.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, if not, you just went through a half hour of the podcast being super confused.
No, I don't think so. We didn't really...
They're super inspired now.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They're like, what is this magical world they're talking about?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think the great thing is that it just sort of... The story transcends different languages and ages. Mm-hmm. And I think that everyone, hopefully, can relate to some part of that story in some way. Mm-hmm.
Oh, great.
Well said.
Thanks. Yes.
Well, thanks, guys, for being a part of this awesome Harry Potter podcast episode.
Absolutely.
Anytime.
Harry Potter.
Part 2. Harry Potter. We'll schedule it. No,
perfect. Kidding.
Yeah, we could probably spend, like, hours.
Yes.
Oh, we did nothing with plot or characters or anything.
No.
Yeah, it was just a nice
little very... Okay, well, good stuff.
Yeah,
Harry Potter. You guys are celebrating Harry Potter book night.
Yes.
We will be here at the Overdrive offices.
Doing the same.
All right, then. Bye, everybody.
See you guys.
Bye.
Readers can sample and borrow the titles mentioned in today's episode from Overdrive.com, and our library friends can add these titles to their collections and marketplace.
I'm Ken Harbaugh, host of Burn the Boats from Evergreen Podcasts. I interview political leaders and influencers, folks like award-winning journalist Soledad O'Brien and conservative columnist Bill Kristol, about the choices they confront when failure is not an option. I won't agree with everyone I talk to,
but I respect anyone who believes in something enough to risk everything for it. Because history belongs to those willing to burn the boats. Episodes are out every other week wherever you get your podcasts.